This message was recorded at Leeds Vineyard during a Sunday morning service. Please feel free to copy it or forward it if it's helpful. We pray that it may be God's word in season for you today.
This year, our theme for the year has been, the brand is Heart for Heart, and it's about justice. And it's about restoring our heart to God's heart, our heart to one another, and to those around us. It's about justice. And I want to wrap up this theme today and in a fortnight's time, just revisiting and closing up this study, this thinking this through. We'll finish in 2 weeks' time with an opportunity to respond. How do we do justice? Today I want to just look at why justice is so close to God's heart and what it looks like. So if you've got a Bible, or if you've got an app, do we have Bibles in the pews these days? Are there? No? Are we allowed them? Are we not allowed? I don't know what the rules are. We are allowed Bibles. So if you would like, could somebody tell the welcome team that if you'd like a Bible, stick your hand up, wave, and they'll bring a Bible to you. Give them a couple of minutes to sort themselves out. Or find it on your digital device, Job chapter 31. Oh, the Bibles are over here. At home, you've probably got your own Bible. I'm sorry we can't help you with getting one to you right now. So, God is a God of justice, which means a couple of things. It means that he recognizes, he can see when justice is not being done. When there's inequality, God sees. But it also means that he works towards giving people their rights. So he puts right what is wrong, as well as being able to see what's wrong. And how we choose to live our lives, like the guys were saying earlier on, reveals our attitude to justice. And frankly, it feels like there's a long way to go for me and for many of us. But thankfully, God is just, but he's also full of mercy, full of grace. And in his accounting, we do not get what we deserve, because he is overwhelmingly a God of grace and forgiveness. And this forgiveness which was bought for us when Jesus died for us on the cross. So knowing that we've received grace from the God of justice, I want us in turn to go full of grace to those in need and do justice for them, so that all may be restored, heart to heart. Now these words, justice, mercy, grace, they all live in the same lexical postcode, in that they all relate to each other. They are different facets of the same diamond, if you like. It's sometimes difficult to clarify, because although we demand justice, not sure we always want it. There's that story, I think Winston Churchill told it, of the elderly dowager having her portrait painted. And she says to the young man, who's rather nervously getting ready to paint her portrait, "Do me justice, young man, do me justice." And he's heard to whisper under his breath, "It's not justice you need, it's mercy." Or let's take a theology student who's doing extremely well, lining up to get a top undergraduate degree. They study diligently, they're very clever. And what they want when the exam is marked, they want justice, because they know they're due a first. And then you've got the other theology degree who's had a student who's had a good time at university and is probably edging up towards 2.2. And he's praying about the examiner, and he's saying, "Oh, give me mercy. Just give me a couple of extra points. Read that as well as you can read it." And then you've got the other student who's had a very good time at university, but forgot to turn up for one of the papers, And what he needs is grace. Grace, undeserved favor. Or my friend Bex. I need to go. I'm off to play a gig and my guitar's broken, so I borrow Bex's. I don't know what sort of guitar. He hasn't brought his guitar today, but let's say he has a Martin worth £2,000. I don't think he does, but let's say he does. And Bex, come and help me with this. Yes. Can I borrow your guitar, Ian? Yeah. Let's pretend this is a £2,000 Martin. So, we haven't rehearsed this. Bex, can I borrow your guitar for my gig?
Sure. Yeah.
Look, it's my show. You just do what you do. Right, okay, thanks. I play away. It's all going really well. But just as I'm putting the guitar away, somebody drops a glass on it and scratches the lacquer. So I take it to a guitar shop and I say, "Will you? How much does it cost?" And they give me a quote for repairing it. And I get the cash out of the bank and I take it back to Bex. And I say to Bex, "There's another guitar. Thank you. I'm sorry about this. Here's the quote and here's the cash." That's justice. Okay? Version two. I bring the guitar and I give it to Bex. And I say, "Thank you, Bex. Sorry about the lacquer. Here's the quote for the repayment and here's the cash." And Bex gives me back the cash. He says, "It's all right, I'll sort it." That's mercy. Version three is I bring the guitar, I give it to Bex, and I give him the invoice, and I give him the quote, and I give him the cash. And I say, "I'm really sorry." And Bex says, "Get another guitar." That's grace. Okay? Thanks, Bex. Round of applause for... So similar concepts, similar words, but they expand our understanding of how God deals with us. Then this pursuit of justice, this seeking of equality, this putting things right, this restoring us heart to heart, this core color that weaves its way through the tapestry of Scripture. Let's discover why it's so important. Why it's so important to touch God's heart, why it's such an important part of how we choose to live our lives. With justice, but also with grace. And if you look at Job, Job is a strange book, a mysterious book. It's not really Jewish. There's no sort of Israelite context for it. But it encapsulates some really deep stuff, and it's some beautiful poetry, extraordinary writing in there. And its main purpose is that it develops the doctrine of theodicy, which is really discussing, you know, how can God be holy and just, and yet live in a world of pain and inequality. And it's that discussion. So it's a big book. But in the piece, in a bit of it, Job is being tested, and things are not going well for him. And he's being tested, and he's protesting his innocence, saying, "Why me? I'm a good guy. Why me?" And it's a long bit of self-justification. And then in the middle of it comes this bit I want us to read together, which is where he defines his goodness, his being okay, in the context of social justice. Okay? So let's read that. Job chapter 31, starting at verse 13. If, remember the word, the whole thing starts with if I have denied justice to any of my servants, whether male or female, when they've had a grievance against me, what will I do when God confronts me? What will I answer when called to account? Did not he who made me in the womb make them? Did not the same one form us both within our mothers? Verse 16. If I have denied the desires of the poor, or let the eyes of the widow grow weary, if I have kept my bread to myself, not sharing it with the fatherless, but from the youth I reared them as a father would, and from my birth I guided the widow. If I have seen anyone perishing for lack of clothing, or the needy without garments, and their hearts did not bless me for warming them with the fleece from my sheep. If I have raised my hand against the fatherless, knowing that I had influence in court, it's a sort of a legal obligation, making sure somebody gets their legal rights. If I haven't done that, raised my hand, you know, eye for eye, arm for arm, then let my arm, verse 22, fall from my shoulder, let it be broken off at the joint. Verse 23, for I dreaded destruction from God. and for fear of his splendor, I could not do such a thing. If I could not do such a thing. This is God's word to us. It's absolutely right, and it's given to us because he loves us. Thank you, Lord. So, Job provides a sketch of what it means to do justice, and in it he provides direction for those of us who are privileged, and he provides hope for the vulnerable. He just assumes that justice, like this, social justice, is part of what it means to be good. Part of our worship of God, part of the choices we make in the way we live our lives. He is drawing on what becomes a comprehensive biblical theme. So, we're coming up to Christmas. You will hear this passage quoted. In fact, we're using it in our carol service. We do every year. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And it ends, he will reign over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness. As I preached three sermons on that earlier this year. Likewise on Isaiah 56, where God says, maintain justice and do what is right. For my salvation is close at hand. There's a link between salvation and doing justice. In the New Testament, Matthew, the writer of the first gospel, first biography about Jesus, he describes Jesus quoting from an Old Testament prophet when he says in Matthew 12, look at my servant whom I have chosen. He is my beloved who pleases me. This is God describing Jesus. I will put my spirit upon him and he will proclaim justice to the nations. Later on in Hebrews, Jesus is described. He's looking at Jesus and he says, you love justice and hate evil. Therefore, O God, your God has anointed you, pouring out the oil of joy on you. That's a wonderful verse. And Jesus himself taught his disciples in the Sermon on the Mount, God blesses those who hunger and thirst for justice, for they shall be satisfied. Let's go back to Job. So that theme is strong in Scripture, this God of justice who calls us to justice. And he starts with in verse 13 where he says, if I have denied justice, and then he lists the types of situations. Verse 16, the desires of the poor or the eyes of the widow growing weary. Verse 17, not sharing my bread with the fatherless. Verse 18, I would have guided the widow from birth. Or verse 19, if I've seen anyone perishing for lack of clothing or needy without garments. Verse 21, if I've raised my hand against the fatherless. There's three groups that categories he repeatedly goes back to. The widow, the orphan, and the poor. The widow, the orphan, the poor. And elsewhere in Scripture, we could choose other passages which have those three plus the foreigner. Those four are what they call the quartet of the vulnerable in Scripture. The foreigner, the widow, the poor, and the orphan. And our quartet of the vulnerable today would not be greatly different from that. He says, if I have denied justice by not doing things for these people, then. So the question is why? Why does Job make this a key characteristic of his life? Why is he so focused on this? Why has he ordered his life to be an agent of justice for the vulnerable? Job 31, verse 14. Look at verse 14. If I have not done these things, then, verse 14, what will I do when God confronts me? God holds us to account. What will I answer when called to account? That's one reason. Another, verse 15, did not he who made me in the womb make them? Did not the same one form us both within our mothers? Verse 23. For I dreaded, why? Because I dreaded destruction from God. For fear of his splendor, I could not do such things. He lives with this awareness of God's desire to see justice. He's, He's linked up with it. He's living his life, but he's really in touch with this desire of God for justice. Because he knows there will be a reckoning. God is seeking justice and will bring judgment. Judgment which restores the poor and the widow and the foreigner and the fatherless, those who are discriminated against, and judgment which calls to account. We will all be called to account. And a bit like last week, we were talking about how we are known in the womb, and that gives us our crucial kickstart in identity. Verse 15, did not he who made me in the womb make them? Job reminds us that we are equal with the poor, with the fatherless, with the foreigner. We have no rights greater than theirs. We were all born from our mothers with nothing. We are equal with them, the queen in her palace, the child in the care home, the rich in their houses, the man who sleeps on the street, the celebrity on TV, the family struggling on benefits, the refugee seeking a better, safer life. We all started as a fetus in our mother's womb, and with our value and identity rooted in being known by our Creator God. But that identity sets us, me and the poor, sets us in a high place. Known by God, loved by God, expected by God, but elevated too. Psalm 8 says this, what is mankind that you are mindful of them? Human beings that you care for them. You have made them a little lower than the angels and crowned them with glory and honor. You made them rulers over the works of your hands. You put everything under their feet. So that's Psalm 8:4. So when Job is thinking of that weary widow, or the defenseless orphan, or the man without clothing or food, he thinks of somebody who is equal to him, comes from the same mother, not the same mother, but like, is born of a mother like them, and is equally created and valued and placed high in the created order. You're placed high in the created order, wherever you are in our hierarchical society. And God knows that God is just. Job knows that God is just, that in his majestic nature, in his supernatural character, God cares for the poor, the widow, the orphan, and the foreigner. In fact, that is what makes our God so full of splendor, that this all-powerful God is also full of compassionate justice and grace. And if God is like that, Job says at the end, I could do no such thing as turn away from doing justice. Do you get it? Does that make sense? Yes. Somebody here? Anybody online? Yeah, you got it? Great. Let me wrap it up. God's nature is to seek justice, the restoration of relationship, relationship between us and him, the relationship between one another, that equality of relationship, that gracious provision of relationship. And that's what he requires of us. And seeing those who are not being treated equally, those who are discriminated against, and restoring them heart to heart, that's what we are called towards. Micah 6:6-8 says this about what God's instruction to us is. O people, the Lord has told you what is good. This is what he requires of you, to do what is right. To do justice, to love mercy, to walk humbly with your God. This is what we are called to do. How we choose to live our lives reveals our attitude to justice. In a couple of weeks' time, when I finish teaching on this theme, I'm going to put the ball in your court and get you to think about what God's call is on you to respond to this call for justice. Some of you are already well down that path, some of you not, but that's what we're going to be thinking about. Thankfully, God is just. He's just, but he's also merciful and gracious. Think of the guitar. And in his accounting, we do not get what we deserve. We do not get what we deserve. Because of his grace and his overwhelming forgiveness, we are accepted and forgiven, and grace rescues us. This forgiveness bought for us when Jesus died on the cross for us. So, knowing that we've received grace, brothers and sisters, knowing that we've received grace from the God of justice, let us in turn go full of grace to those in need, those being discriminated against, and let us do justice for them so that all may be restored heart to heart. Amen? Should we do that? Shall we do that? I think I need Tony Perry back. Okay, do stand and we'll pray. Let's just pray into that for a start. Lord, we receive your grace and your forgiveness. That's an awesome starting point. If you've never gone to the Lord Almighty, the creator of heaven and earth, the one who knows you and created you and formed you, if you've never gone to him and said, I'm sorry, I just need you. I need to say sorry for the things I've done, for what I've put in, what's got in the way, for where I've not done well. And this is a wonderful prayer. Lord, I receive your grace and forgiveness. Why don't you say that? Lord, I receive your grace and forgiveness. It's very powerful if you say those words out loud. Lord, I receive your grace and forgiveness. That's where we've got to start, brothers and sisters. And Lord, I thank you that your heart and our heart are restored through your grace. Thank you, Lord. Just enjoy that concept that your heart and the God's heart, however far apart you sometimes feel, that you've been restored through his grace. Equip us, Lord, and send us out to do justice. We've received your grace. Now, Lord, just equip us. Speak to us. Help us to understand what you're calling us to. Send us out to do justice, to be agents of your kingdom, bringing grace in all sorts of places. And as we do that, Lord, I pray that you will restore our hearts to one another's hearts and to the hearts of those around us.